This is the Jim Rome Show with guest host JT the Brick on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Michelle Beadle joining us at the top of next hour. Andrew Siciliano in a few minutes. Also, Dan Wetzel will join us a little bit later on in the show. Appreciate everybody. I lived in L.A. for 10 years. Lived in San Diego for 8. Great to be home again in the jungle. Always fun to come here. Thanks again to Jim and the entire XR4TI, who's working the holiday schedule or not. Feels like a holiday and good to be back. I'll be back again tomorrow with another really good guest list. Follow me at JT the Brick or at Jim Rome to find out what we're doing tomorrow. Appreciate the tweets coming in. Will and Erie. Thanks, JT. No one talking enough about how dirty the Browns did Baker. Finally starting to turn the franchise around, and that's how they treat him. I'm getting sick of being a Browns fan. Goaty McGoatface, JT, welcome back to the jungle. Break them off something for the Raider Nation. Have a great show. Snowbird, Mike Snowbird, JT, welcome back. I've been with you since day one with the old gang, Quinn the Car Fixer, Lisa in Green Bay, Jay in L.A., Shawnee, Doc Mike. All the greats. Great to hear your voice again. Appreciate that. And heck yeah, from Dustin G. Good to see me back here in the jungle. It's great to be back in the jungle. This is where it all started for me. When I won the first smack off, I thank Caleb in the beginning for joining our fraternity now. He's now the bookend to me. As I won the first, he won the most recent. And it's good to come back to my roots here and see a lot of good friends here and come on back. Andrew Siciliano in a few minutes. I mentioned, I think today, with waiting on a Woj bomb or what Shams Charania is going to say about NBA free agency, which opens up after the show, the big move for me already has been James Harden. Harden opting out to opt back in on a three-year deal, most likely, because Harden does not deserve a max deal, period. Harden quit on two teams. So as much as I'm praising him now for doing the right thing, I can't forget what happens. You see, everybody in sports, every once in a while, an athlete will tell you when they come back after a bad season, we'll have a press conference and say, well, I'm in shape this year, or I just feel better. No. You got paid last year, and you took all that money last year. And Harden's been stealing money, I think, for the last couple of years, and now he finally gets it. So someone sat him down and said, this is it. This is the last contract you're going to get. It's not a super max deal. But this contract now, I believe, catapults the 76ers up the ladder in the East. And Atlanta got DeJounte Murray, and we'll talk to Michelle about that coming up in a little bit, which is incredible to me. You want to talk about a backcourt now. Murray and Young, all of a sudden Atlanta becomes a really good team. So when I take a look at the teams now, let me rank the Eastern Conference teams that I have going forward after Harden's deal, assuming they're going to get another player. I have the Celtics number one in the East for obvious reasons. They really pushed the Warriors hard. They played great. They swept Brooklyn. Celtics won. I'm moving the Sixers up to number two, heading into free agency. The Bucks at number three with Giannis, depending on what they're able to do to secure another player and keep players. I got Miami at four. And at times this past year, Miami maybe at one. But I think the division just got, the conference got much tougher. I'll move Atlanta to five, and then I have the Nets. Because I don't know what's going to happen to the Nets just yet. Because as I mentioned with Russell Westbrook, another guy who forgot how to play basketball is Ben Simmons. Think about this, everybody. You played basketball when you were a little kid. You started off playing in the rec league. Right, little kid, mom brought you a juice box. Then maybe you played AAU, high school at the same time. Then you went to college, and Ben Simmons forgot how to play basketball. Can't shoot. Before he left the league, and now he's back, he was a top 20 player in the league. He could do it all. And now they're counting on him desperately to be the player with the Nets, with KD and Kyrie opting back in to do it. I don't know. I have to see what happens now with the Nets. The Nets have been so chaotic the last couple of months, I just don't know if they can quiet down the noise. And, you know, the guy who's supposed to quiet down that noise is Kevin Durant. And Durant's supposed to be the guy that calms everything down. This is going to be a big job for him. Fortunately, Durant's got two chips. He's got two finals MVPs. But he walked away from the Warriors. He could have had six or seven with the Warriors. And if the Warriors keep winning without him, it's going to be incredible to see that. Because then what does that say about Kevin Durant? They won before Durant. They're winning after Durant. And if they build up another dynasty here and they're able to take it to the next level, that's not going to kill the legacy of Kevin Durant, but it's not going to help it along the way. This is a big offseason for him. We're staying with the NFL with a lot of news out there as we continue. Andrew Siciliano, kind enough to join us, longtime friend. What a great host he is at NFL Network. And Andrew, thanks for coming into the jungle. Normally this time of year, you're on a high peak somewhere around the world doing a hike. How's your summer going?
JT, it's going well, man. Good to talk to you. Good actually to be speaking into a telephone or a microphone for the first time in a while. I have not been on any form of media in like a month, so excuse me if I make absolutely no sense and start yelling at the TV if Shane Bieber gets squeezed in the first inning.
What is it like to turn off your phone? What is it like to get on social media? Something we should all be doing. Everyone on earth should be getting off their phone and social media at least for a month. How do you feel about that?
Let me clarify. I should be off my phone. I'm not. I'm just not working. There's a difference. I'm very grateful we get a lot of time off in the off season. The network goes on, and we still are doing shows every day, and Total Access and Good Morning Football is back now. My show goes on hiatus a little bit, so I've been still very much on my phone because, JT, it is very hard for me to be disconnected. 2 weeks ago, I was truly off my phone for about 4 days. I was attempting to summit Mount Rainier in Washington. Didn't get above about 11,000, though, because it evidently is the wettest, snowiest, coldest spring in recent memory in the Pacific Northwest. And our first night at Camp Muir, which is just north of 10,000, we got a foot of snow on the tents, and then there were multiple avalanches. So no one summited for like a month, including the group I was with. But the good news was I was off my phone.
It sounds like one of those Netflix documentaries on summits. I love this. Andrew Siciliano joins us. Should we, Deshaun Watson will be breaking news when it breaks. We know the story already, and you're a Browns fan from your youth. The backup plan and then the backup plan after that with Baker Mayfield. Looking back on how Jimmy Haslam and the organization handled this with Baker playing through the injury, not extending him, I'm okay with that. But then guaranteeing Deshaun Watson, you know this roster as good as anybody. What is their plan with Jacoby Brissett if Deshaun's gone for the year?
Hey, listen, they went out and got Jacoby because, when you sign Jacoby Brissett, that means we don't expect Baker Mayfield back, and that bridge is burned, and we're getting divorced, and it's time to move on. I don't know that they ever anticipated that Jacoby Brissett would be a year-long Band-Aid. I don't know that he is going to. I don't know that anyone knows what former federal judge Susan L. Robinson is going to do. Sue L. Robinson. No one has any idea. There is no precedent. This is the first time there's been this kind of disciplinary setup under the new CBA. Anyone who says they know what's going to happen simply doesn't know. Now, we know what the league is pushing for, right? That's been well-sourced and well-reported, I believe, and I could I've heard on my own that, yeah, they want something extensive. And I've also heard that, yes, the union does not. I think for precedent's sake and just for a litany of reasons, if he truly does get suspended indefinitely, i.e. the year, then you have what could be a very, very, very good team, a playoff-worthy team, an AFC championship contender with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. If you hop on Reddit, you have a bunch of Browns fans try to sugarcoat and say, well, look at Jacoby's career numbers and look at Baker's worst year. Maybe he is better. He is. Baker Mayfield is better. Now, Jacoby Brissett may make fewer mistakes. I don't know that the Browns want to have to answer that question, but you have guys like Jadeveon Clowney who came back specifically because of Deshaun Watson. Where do they go? You got to do the best of it and, hope they can win with them.
Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network. Let's stay in that division with Cincinnati. From a 2-win team to a 4-win team to a playoff and a team that went to the Super Bowl, What a transformation with Joe Burrow at quarterback. And now they're adding pieces one after another every year. And do you expect them to be a team that's going to contend every year or maybe a window? Because ownership hasn't been great over the decades. We all know that. Normally, they don't pay up to keep great players and, you know, sign new great players. Where do you see them now after that big run they had in Los Angeles against the Rams losing the Super Bowl?
It's hard with any team for a litany of reasons. I use litany twice now, JT, to project long-term success, but the short-term window is certainly open. And as long as they have a quarterback like Joe Burrow, their window is going to be wide open. And the same goes here for the Chargers, who they're going to have to re-sign Justin Herbert as well. Obviously, same draft class, a couple of picks apart. When you have that piece, go back to the Browns. The Browns felt they didn't have the piece, so they mortgaged the farm. They took a huge gamble. Other teams, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Colts, if the Texans had allowed them to be in the conversation, would have taken the same swing. They made the swing because they felt they didn't have the piece. The Bengals have that piece. So, yes, assuming Joe Burrow is still a reason to go play in Cincinnati, then they will have a reason for hope, and potential championship window would still be open. Joe Burrow is a reason to sign a contract in Cincinnati, and the Bengals have not had that in a long time.
Andrew Siciliano's our guest. I want to move to the NFC and the Niners. Very confusing now because this team's had a window with Jimmy Garoppolo. They went to a Super Bowl that they should have won. They lost it, and they could keep coming back with what they have with Kittle, with Bosa. But this is a window now, Andrew, that can get away from them. If Lance isn't the player that they can count on for 17 games and develop quickly with what they have with Garoppolo trying to move him coming off an injury, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch got a big issue here because Niner fans are expecting multiple trips to the Super Bowl. They got one. Will they get back again?
It's amazing how close they were this past year as well, right? I mean, from being down in the fourth quarter to the Rams week 18 where it looked as if they might not make the playoffs, to being back there at SoFi 3 weeks later with a lead in the fourth quarter with a chance to go to the Super Bowl to play there three times in 5 weeks. It's nuts. But the Niners, it's very different, but much like the Browns or the Falcons or the Panthers, they were willing to attempt to make a big swing. Their big swing, though, was trading multiple ones, not to get an established veteran and Pro Bowler and Deshaun Watson, but to get the kid, the 20-year-old at that point, I believe, and Trey Lance. It just hasn't worked yet. At least it hasn't worked because he hasn't been on the field. The kid had two starts. I mean, how can you make any conclusions from two starts? And when you only make two starts, then it goes to, well, unnamed player says, we haven't seen it yet in practice. It's unfair to him. I want to see what he can do. But if it doesn't work, man, you traded a lot of assets. A lot of assets. But they wouldn't be the first team that decided they had to go all in to get a top five quarterback at the top of the draft, and then it not work.
You've had a front row seat to the Rams, play-by-play on the preseason broadcast. NFL Network moved to that campus. I want to give Stan Kroenke credit for the Avalanche and the Rams and the stadium and everything that's happening there. I mean, I'm not great at math, but I'm looking at all these signings. Aaron Donald got his money. Cooper Kupp. They're able to get whoever they want. And look, we've talked about this. We've been friends a long time. You could always figure out how to redo contracts and fit contracts in under the cap. But this is fascinating to me. What can you add to our audience on how the Rams are able to have this many great players on their team, bring in new players, and fit it all under the cap?
We can go an hour on this one.
Yeah.
It's funny, JT, go back a couple of weeks ago when I was on Mount Rainier, I had a Seahawks fan of the mountain turn to me and go, why don't the Rams have a salary cap? I said, ooh, come on, man. Maybe the altitude's getting to you. They do have a salary cap, but there is a huge difference, and this kind of goes back to your Mike Brown thing, a huge difference between salary cap and cash flow on hand. You know this too, JT. Obviously, you're up close and personal there with the Raiders. Difference in cash flow in Vegas as compared to cash flow in Oakland with different revenue streams.
Sure.
And the Rams have cash flow. They can write the short-term checks. And then there are always ways to massage the salary cap. The Saints did it for years.
They did.
To keep kicking the can down the road for Drew Brees' contract. Drew Brees is going to come back and play again at 38. All right, here's $35 million again. We can rework this contract. We'll pay for it later. All right, we got to build around Drew Brees again. We got to build around Tom Brady again. All right, we're going to figure out these contracts. Rams are doing the same thing. It's not any different. You have the cash to pay the big bonuses up front. You amortize that over a number of years. The problem always is when someone gets injured, right? And then you don't have the present cap space to make up for it. And it also puts unbelievable pressure on Les Snead, his scouting staff, and Sean McVay and his assistant coaches to develop a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round undrafted talent, right, that you have to have to fill out your roster playing at a near elite level when you're trading away all your ones. They are star heavy, but, you know, it's Traven Howard who makes a play at the end of the game. It's Jordan Fuller who makes a play at the end of the game. It's Dante Dion that makes a play at the end of the game. It's Greg Gaines who makes a play at the end of the game. If you don't have those guys, and if you don't hit 750 on those draft picks, then it doesn't matter how much cash you spend on the big guys.
Andrew, finally, I'll be in Canton in a month from now for the induction of Cliff Branch into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's no longer with us. And every year I go back, I'm just amazed at Canton. It's football heaven. Yeah. Fans from every team are there. And what does it mean to you? You work with a lot of Hall of Famers, and I know how much you love sports and football. When you're on the set, you're interviewing a Hall of Fame at a Hall of Famer at a stadium, or, you know, on studio, or they're on satellite, and you get a chance to look back at the history of this game, and you're on NFL Network there talking to the great historians and the greatest players who ever played.
JT, it's the best part of my job, and it's the part of my job where I always, you know, pinch myself, or I'm driving home that day or getting on a plane to go to the next stop, where you just go, man, I'm lucky. We're lucky for what we do. The Hall of Fame makes me feel like a little kid every time I walk in there. And to be there Hall of Fame weekend, and to bump into the greats, and to, even if it's say hi and you know, see how you and your family are doing and talk for 30 seconds, even those small talk moments are memorable moments. But then to take it a step further and be able to sit down and get to know these people and hear their stories and do the interviews, it is by far the best part of my job. One of my favorite stories, and this is going to be a self-serving story, but it goes back to my time in my childhood. As you said, my dad, huge Browns fan, grew up in the 50s and 60s in Cleveland, obviously huge Jim Brown fan, always used to tell me Jim Brown stories. When I was a little kid, you know Jim very well, JT, with all your work together over the years, both on and off camera. And then I went to Syracuse, and obviously Jim Brown, greatest Orange man of them all. I'd interviewed Jim a couple of times, but I wasn't entirely certain that, like, hey, he knew me. Like, he's done a bunch of interviews. I was flying home from Canton one day after the Hall, and I was sitting across from him on the plane. And we made small talk, and I said, hey, don't want to bother you, sir. You know, and, you know, he was reading the newspaper. And then the woman sitting next to him says to him, who was that you were talking to? And he told her who I was and then threw a couple of compliments out. I don't know that he knew that I heard them. And I'm like, I'm the happiest little kid on earth. Like, Jim Brown not only knows who I am, but, like, complimented me to a total stranger. And I'm like, plenty of other people would have said that, like, oh, you've had a great career. My career, honestly, didn't really mean much to me at that point. But, like, that was that moment. I know that's, like, an odd moment and a self-serving story here on national radio, but that was that moment where I'm like, holy crap, how cool is this?
Yeah, it's
like,
cool.
I'm 10 years old right now, and this is the coolest thing of all time. Anytime you get those moments, you're like, man, we are so bleeping lucky to do it.
Living the dream. I say it every day.
Yep.
My friend, I hope to see you in Vegas. Maybe we can ascend the stratosphere. We can take the stairs and go to the top of the stratosphere.
Yeah, let's do it.
The top of the world.
Or let's be bigger tourists, JT, and let's, like, go ride the roller coaster at New York, New York.
Or Red Rock, we'll hike that. Great to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
You got it, man.
Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network. I got a great Jim Brown story, too. I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for the Jim Rome Show or Jim Brown. I had a 5-year exclusive with Jim Brown on the radio back in the day. I brought my dad to Jim Brown's house to sign a deal and sit in his backyard. It's one of the great memories of my life. When we come back, name, image, and likeness. Which teams in college football are spending the most money? Talking about the bag Where's all that money coming from? I'll tell you next as we continue. JT in for Jim. This is the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
JT in for Jim Rome at JT the Brick on Twitter, 800-636-8686. Thanks to all of our guests so far. Michelle Beadle, who's had a big career as a broadcaster in sports, she'll join us at the top of the hour. Dan Wetzel from Yahoo coming up a bit on NIL. We'll talk about the teams that are spending the most amount of money, from Texas A&M now to Texas, what Nick Saban has to say about that. That's coming up in a little bit. No news is good news yet for NBA free agency. That'll become official after I get off the air a little couple hours from now. The breaking news last night, Hornets forward Miles Bridges arrested in L.A. Wednesday afternoon, booked on felony domestic violence, a warrant. He posted bail, and he is out $130,000 bond. He'll appear in court on July 20th. The comment on Miles Bridges from the Hornets, quote, the Charlotte Hornets are aware of the situation involving Miles Bridges. The team said, we are in the process of gathering additional information. Well, just go to TMZ and read TMZ. They never get it wrong. All the information's there. This guy's going to lose a lot of money. It might be one of the biggest drop-offs for a player in NBA free agent history coming in to what he was supposed to get. It's about the Warriors. Chris in West Oakland checking in the Bay Area. How you been, Chris?
Hey, JT, man. We've both come a long way, haven't we, from the show you used to call. I remember the old days. I used to pull over in my van before I had a cell phone and call you from a payphone. Now I'm sitting here with the TV on mute looking at you on the television set. Can't believe it's been 30 years almost, how the time's flown and where you've gone, man. Great job. Just proud as hell of what you've done and what you've done in this industry. Real quick, before I hit the Warriors, you mentioned Cliff Branch when you were talking to Andrew Siciliano. Can't wait for his induction. I just, you know, I haven't been in the jungle in a long time. Just wanted to say it's just a shame that they waited until this man died and he doesn't get a chance to put that yellow jacket on and walk around amongst his peers. The fact that it took him this long is just a travesty that the Hall of Fame has made another great Raider like Kenny Stabler wait until after they passed away before they went into the Hall of Fame. This guy was the most feared wide receiver of the 70s. Freddie Biletnikoff has said on numerous occasions, you know, himself and Dave Casper are Hall of Famers mainly because Cliff Branch was on the other side of the field. And I'm proud that Cliff Branch is going in as a Raider fan. Just a shame that another great Raider won't get to see his day in Canton. And as far as NBA free agency, I love this time every year, JT. I get to sit back and see which team's going to make a dumb decision and overpay for a guy that's not going to alter their franchise fortune. Your Knicks are a case in point. You mean to tell me they're clearing cap space for Jalen Brunson like he's Kevin Durant or LeBron James? The Warriors just won the title. I don't know if Jalen Brunson cracks the Warriors' top eight players. You mean to tell me you're going to center your franchise around this guy? Then you wonder why the Knicks are just a dumpster fire. Bradley Beal's going to sign a big contract. Another guy. Everybody in the NBA is phenomenally talented, but there's a lot of guys that put up big numbers but don't make their teams better. They're a dime a dozen. There's a reason, JT, that since 1980 when Magic Johnson came into the league, only 13 teams have actually won titles, 13 separate franchises in 42 seasons. It takes a special kind of person and organization, not just players. And I love watching these teams every year throw hundreds of millions of dollars and then 5 years later scratch their heads wondering why it didn't work out. But I call mainly to talk about my Golden State Warriors, the team that did it the right way. Through drafting, through trades. The only big-name free agent they ever signed was Kevin Durant. Everybody else was either drafted or acquired in the trade. This is one of the marquee franchises in all the professional sports. They do everything the right way, from community service all the way on up to the top of Joe Lacob, that has vowed to spend all the money he can as long as Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are in the middle of their playoff window. This team will be better next year. I'm calling my shot now. They're going to repeat. The youngsters they got coming up surrounding the core three, well, actually core four now, I'll include Andrew Wiggins. Klay Thompson will be back to 100%. The Warriors stole a title this year with Klay only being about 75 or 80%. Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Wiseman, Otto Porter, Gary Payton. The Warriors' bench next year would be a team that could compete for a playoff spot. This team's going to be hell for the next 2 or 3 years, and I think there's at least 2 more titles in this group. While everybody else throws mad free agent money, the Warriors will keep building from within, make the smart trade or two, and everybody's going to wonder why their formula doesn't work and the Warriors do. Oh, and Steph Curry's a pretty big reason for that also. Finally, there's this. Since it's the jungle, I got to come in with a little bit of smack. Listen, you know my feelings on Draymond Green. As a Warrior fan, he drives me nuts. I wish he'd shut up. He talks way too much. But in the Kendrick Perkins feud, I got to admit, I love this. Kendrick Perkins, how this buffoon has gotten a job and held it is just beyond me. I listened to some of his takes on ESPN, and it makes me wonder, who hired this guy and who keeps paying him? And shouldn't the ability, when you're hired to speak for a living, shouldn't the ability to speak comprehensive English be a prerequisite? Kendrick Perkins just better thank God every day that he's 7 foot tall and not 5 foot 10. Because if he was 5 foot 10, he wouldn't be on TV. He'd probably be washing windows at stop signs. Thanks for letting me rant, my friend. Great to hear you back in the jungle. Have a happy 4th of July, everybody. I'm out.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. And I think a little bit more of Kendrick Perkins than you do. And it's going to be a good segue into our conversation later of old media, new media. Everybody's talking about it. And Draymond claims that he's a part of new media. Very quickly, he nailed it on the Warriors. Every year, everybody tries to figure out the Warriors. But no one called me the last 2 years on the Warriors. Remember, the Warriors didn't make the playoffs. Warriors didn't make the play-in. So the Warriors were a mess due to the Clay injury, the Steph injury. And no one was that's how they got lottery picks. The reason the Warriors are so deep now, let's not forget the Warriors didn't even make the playoffs. Now everybody's calling into every show acting like the Warriors are going to win the next 3 out of 4. How did that happen so quickly? It happened because the Phoenix Suns choked. Phoenix was better this year. They were clearly better, and they choked. And Chris Paul was the architect of that. Had a great year. He continues to defy his age. Ayton's going to get moved on. Sarver's a terrible owner. They should have a window. Phoenix should be the team we're talking about today. We should be talking about Phoenix with Ayton, Chris Paul, Booker, adding another piece on a mid-level and being the best team in basketball. We're going to forget about the Suns now. Big Al in San Francisco, as we stay in the Bay Area, talking about the Warriors. What's happening, Big Al?
JT, just getting ready for the 3-day weekend and Summer League. We have 6 games here beginning on Saturday, Warriors, Lakers, Kings, and the Heat in the California Classic. So my basketball season isn't necessarily over just yet. So it'll be fun to see some of the some free agents who are coming in, who want to be able to hook on with the team, some rookies, and get to watch some basketball in foggy San Francisco.
Great. Warriors, you work on the broadcast. You call my other show. It's just a great run here as we wait for free agency. And everybody's chasing down the Warriors. The perfect basketball team at the perfect time going through NBA chaos all around them.
Yeah, it's interesting. While all these other teams are trying to do things to make themselves better, and that's what you should do, that's called competition. And that's the great thing about the NBA is that everybody always wants to get better. In this summer, it's hope springs eternal. All these teams are trying to get better. The Warriors don't really have to do all that terribly much. There's a couple little pieces here and there that they're going to have to change, mostly because of money, not being able to afford some players who had some very good years. But going into next year, the Warriors are the team to beat, and Memphis is mm-hmm. kind of biting at them. Memphis was a hell of a team last year. I thought Memphis might have gone to the finals last year. I was saying that early in the year. But the Warriors got healthy and they used their basketball acumen and their experience. And, we all know what happened. They won their fourth title, their fourth title since 2015. I don't see how anybody can come out before this week and say that their respective team is going to be the next NBA champ, especially the Clippers. The Clippers couldn't even get through the play-in last year, and there are people anointing them as the next NBA champion. I'm like, let's hold on a second. Leonard hasn't played in a year, and they just got a guy that hasn't played in more than a year.
John Wall.
The last 6 years.
Yep. Big Al, got to run. Appreciate your call. I'm not going crazy about John Wall either. John Wall hasn't played. Wait till I read you his contract and the type of money he stole over the last couple of years. It's incredible. What happens on the verge of NBA free agency is we start talking about the worst contracts and how teams can get out of them and how they can't. And this year, because of Westbrook and some of the other contracts there and players opting in, especially opting in because no one wants to take their enormous contracts. DeAndre Ayton, restricted free agent, 23 years old, Suns prime candidate for a sign and trade, been linked to Miles Turner plus picks with the Pacers. I think the Pacers is where he ends up, and it's a shame. You know, they took him number one, and Robert Sarver wants the guy out. You come back with Ayton, you build around him with a big man. They don't want to do that. And then Jalen Brunson and what's going to happen with the Knicks. Probably later on tonight. When we come back, we'll talk to Dan Wetzel about name, image, and likeness and the absolute complete chaos in college football and the amount of money that's changing hands. But first, here's Rich Ackerman with your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host JT the Brick on CBS Sports Radio.
What a day to be in the jungle. JT in for Jim at JT the Brick at Jim Rome. If you want to get through, you know, when you sit in for Jim, you want big days to happen. And with NBA free agency on the verge after the show today, we'll be big on that tomorrow. We've been covering the NFL, but now the blockbuster breaking news and perfect time to bring in the best-selling author from Yahoo, the columnist, Dan Wetzel. And Dan, I saw you're covering this too and retweeted John Wildner. Sources say USC and UCLA are planning on leaving for the Big Ten as early as 2024. Where did this come from? How did this just break? What a monster story.
Yeah, well, it comes from money, put it that way, not from loyalty or tradition. The Big Ten is negotiating its next TV contract right now. The SEC is getting a massive billion-dollar-a-year deal. The Big Ten's going to get one probably even bigger. And it's my understanding, and this is 7-8 minutes old. So, but my understanding and reporting right now is that USC and UCLA reached out to the Big Ten because there's just no way that they will ever in the Pac-12 be able to get the kind of television contract that the Big Ten gets. And so if they remain in the Pac-12, they'd be behind on television money. So that's the basis of the basic interest is, can we get in on the two big pies of television, which are going to be the SEC and the Big Ten?
Most people can't understand the fact that Hollywood and big television is based in Southern California. Huge streaming companies are based in the Silicon Valley. And how come the Pac-12 can't get money to the point where USC, after a move to Lincoln Riley, where some said Lincoln Riley ran away from the SEC by the Big 12 to go to the Pac-12 to be a power here, USC's not going to be no power in the Big Ten compared to what they could be. It's the same thing for me, Dan, about Texas going to the SEC. It's more competition. It will be more difficult. You're telling me the Pac-12 can't use this as a way to circle the wagons and get more money?
The money, they can't. It's just not there because the television viewers aren't there. I mean, you go in the Big Ten, and the ratings are just, they just don't match up. I mean, USC can be very popular when they're winning, but when they're not, they get half-filled stadium. I don't really care what the record is at Iowa. The place is jammed.
Yeah.
Nebraska's terrible. Place is jammed. They've sold out every game for 40, 50 years. Those types of things, these are huge universities in the Midwest. 50-something thousand undergrads at Michigan State and Penn State and, you know, so the number of alums, the number of fans, the entrenchment of college football in the culture of the Midwest and the South is just different. So you're just not going to get those kind of TV numbers. USC's got some tradition and UCLA is a great school and a big brand in a big city, and Oregon's got its moments, but you know, they just don't have that. Nobody really cares at Arizona State or Arizona or Cal or Stanford or, you know, Oregon State so much, or Washington. It's just the way it is. So it's money. That's it. Mm-hmm. And if they get in, they feel their ability to compete financially is important to do that. This is something that people inside college football always wondered. Mm-hmm. There was sort of a belief, would Oregon go with them or not, because they've kind of, you know, they have Nike and they perched themselves up there. But the Pac-12 was very, the one thing a year ago when Texas and Oklahoma left is every one of these conferences needed to look at their top schools and say, are you happy? What do we need to do to make you happy? Because anything was on the table. And so, this is absolutely, it's crazy at times to consider it, right? USC is going to play one, USC and UCLA are going to have one game west of the Rockies, again, you know, one opponent. That's it. They have each other. And then, I mean, basketball, everything is in the Midwest. You're not playing in the Bay Area, not playing up and down the West Coast, not playing in area. Like, it's totally crazy. But these are not conferences anymore. They're just television contracts.
Yeah,
it's no different than the American Football Conference and the National Football Conference. And so the NFC East has Dallas, right? And the AFC West has Kansas City. The geography almost doesn't matter. But this would be this decimates the Pac-12 and their hopes of being an equal top four or five conference. It further strengthens the Big Ten and puts a gap between the SEC and the Big Ten and the others. It totally changes college sports in the West. Presumably the Mountain West gets some, you know, is Boise State joining the Pac-12? I don't know what they do. But it's a huge moment, and it changes college sports, not in a good way, for anybody other than people making money off of it.
Dan Wetzel from Yahoo joins us. Just happened, breaking news of the thought of USC and UCLA moving to the Big Ten as early as 2024. So I'm going to go quick here with a couple of quick ones with you before the top of the hour. This would decimate the Pac-12. We agree with that. Do you think, and thinking ahead, Lincoln Riley would have left Oklahoma knowing this? I mean, look, the Big Ten's great, but it's not the SEC, and the Big 12 is the Big 12. I'm just shocked that all the news of USC as I'm in LA today and how big this program is. I mean, USC fans will be sickened by this. I can see Texas fans going SEC, Big 12, I get it. But USC fans want to stay out west. They want to see the rivalries here. What do you think the reaction is going to be from the fan bases?
I think it's going to be a sale. You got to sell it as some kind of, we had to do it. But I agree. You lose all your traditional rivals. You lose, LA's got people from all over the country, but what always traditionally made conferences great is, you know, your neighbor went to a different school or rooted from a different school, or your coworker or whatever it was. And so even if you were, you know, somewhere, you lose that. I know Maryland still struggles with this. They went to the Big Ten because of the finances, but a lot of their alums still wish they're playing Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina. And they don't have anything in common with Iowa and Nebraska and Wisconsin and things like that. And this will be like that. Those days of saying, hey, let's go catch the Stanford USC game because we each went to one of those schools or whatever isn't there. Or you're a USC fan up in the Bay Area and never going to see your team again. It's a total change. And that's where it's what a lot of us love about college sports just gets stripped away because there's TV money involved. And, you know, we need more money to do what exactly? These places already have palatial facilities. The coaches are already making $9, $10 million a year. They fire coaches and pay their buyouts. Everyone's got corporate planes and, you know, free planes and country clubs. Like, what is the money needed for?
Mm-hmm.
Is USC broke?
No, that's a great point.
Is UCLA broke? No, but they're just going to throw away all of it, and that's what stinks. And if you're sitting there as an Oregon State fan or something like that going, gosh, you know, where are we going? You know, we don't have, you know, we just took a knock back, and you can't replace that, and you lose your recruiting foothold in L.A., and just everything changes because of these deals. And it's, you know, I understand business, I understand money, but it's tough if you're a college sports fan to say, gosh, what was working didn't need to get broken.
Dan Wetzel. Dan, last one in about 2 minutes or less. Could Arch Manning be getting $15 million from Texas? 10 or $15 million? Because the numbers are all over the place. What could he be getting, and how are we going to ever track how much these kids are getting with name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, I have no. There's no one who knows what Arch Manning is getting. I don't know. Maybe the guy paying him, but the Mannings are not. They didn't even do any interviews on where he's visiting and stuff. So that's pure speculation. Could he? Sure. Absolutely. Over 4 years. Yeah. I mean, look. I know it seems crazy, but Patrick Mahomes making 50 or Aaron Rodgers making $50 million next year. Patrick Mahomes making $45 million. Josh Allen. If you're a quarterback, you are more valuable. If you're a star quarterback, you're more valuable than the head coach. And so that's just the way it is. So the market for someone like Arch Manning, if he wanted that money, is probably there's almost no number that wouldn't that would surprise me, per se. It's just the way it works. That's these guys are unlocking their value. And believe me, a kid like Trevor Lawrence was worth hundreds of millions of dollars to Clemson University in terms of promotion and students who apply there and all the different things, right, as well as filling up that stadium.
Hey, that,
certainly $10 million a year or something like that. It's that's the market.
Hey, thanks for doing this, Dan. It's a busy day. I know you got a lot of big reporting coming up. We'll follow you on all your platforms. Thanks for coming on the Jim Rome Show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it, Dan Wetzel. Wow. What a blockbuster move. I mean, I'm knocked out of this chair. I'm in L.A., the day where USC, and all due respect to UCLA, got a lot of buddies who went there. Can you imagine USC fans saying we are out of the Pac-12, the road trips to Cal, to go see Stanford, the Bay Area, the family, the rivalries within? Listen to me. College football is out of control. They let the money come in because of television. Television doesn't care about you when it comes to this. He just said it. Dan Wetzel's one of the best at this. This is all about the opportunity to get more television ratings. So say goodbye to the Big 12. Say goodbye to the Pac-12. It is now the SEC and the Big 10. USC versus Ohio State. USC versus Michigan every year. Good luck, Jim Harbaugh. You can't beat the Ohio State. How are you going to beat USC every year or every other year? How in God's name are you going to get to the conference championship game? This is shocking. JT in for Jim, the Jim Rome Show, third hour is next.